Well, welcome to the Let's Talk About Poop podcast. I'm Dr. Samir Islam, board certified gastroenterologist trained at the Mayo Clinic. Every week, we do a podcast going into a deep dive on a topic you guys had asked me about. We talk about questions on that topic. If you're joining for the first time, here's the format. In the very beginning, I do a deep dive into the topic you guys had asked me. And then towards the end on my live stream, which you can join us every weekday on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, and LinkedIn, where we can answer your topics you guys have on the live stream as well. So hope you guys had a great day. A couple of housekeeping things. So number one, if you haven't already, let me know what you guys think about this podcast format. Comment down below. Let me know what you guys think. Send us a message as well. Number two, if you want to get your question answered, there are a couple ways we can do this. One is you can obviously join my social media live streams where you can post your question. We'll answer them towards the end of the episode. Well, so number two, send us a DM, send us a message, and that way we can get that. Number three, leave us a review. iTunes, Spotify, please give us a 5-star review. Let us know what we can do better, and let us also know what you guys want so we can make this podcast as best as we can for you guys, my audience. And number three, come see us live at Gastro, where we practice, we can take care of your heartburn, reflux, and GI issues as well. All right, we have a great show today. Tonight, we're going to talk about all about heartburn, acid reflux, and symptoms like that. I know you guys have a lot of questions you guys have about this, so we'll do a deep dive on this as well so we can hopefully answer these questions. And today, we'll talk about the causes of reflux. We'll talk about the symptoms of GERD. There actually may be symptoms you may not be aware of that are due to heartburn and GERD. We'll talk about factors that can influence, that can make reflux symptoms worse. We'll talk about how it's diagnosed, and we'll talk about treatment and when to worry about your acid reflux. All right, so let's talk about what exactly is GERD. So the medical definition of GERD is actually burning in the chest or regurgitation. And there are a lot of different reasons why people can have GERD. Now, the number one reason, it's not an acid problem. And this is what I want to stress to you guys. So many things on social media I see tell us that it's a low acid problem. It's a high acid problem. Well, in most cases of GERD, it's not an acid issue. The problem is actually a sphincter issue. So you have what's called the lower esophageal sphincter. This is a sphincter between the esophagus and stomach that is typically closed when you're not eating, when you're not drinking, and when you're not swallowing, but opens when you are eating, when you are drinking, and when you are swallowing. But the issue when it comes to GERD and heartburn is that that valve is open longer and more often. So it's like having a door that's swinging open all the time. And as it's swinging open, acid and content goes up into the esophagus and elsewhere to cause the symptoms of that. So it is not an acid problem. In most cases, it is a valve problem. Now, there are other causes for GERD besides the valve. So number two, in some individuals, there could be acid issues going on. You may have super secretion of acid or low acid. Now, this is not common, but it does occur. So certain infections can cause your acid to be decreased. A condition called H. pylori is a very common condition for that. There are some autoimmune diseases that can cause this as well. It's called autoimmune gastritis. And there are some conditions that can produce too much acid in which you actually have tumors that can do that. But in most cases, this is not the problem. A third cause of GERD is just having a hiatal hernia. So what a hernia is, this is what part of the stomach goes above where it should be. They'll cause two things to occur. It'll cause acid to be trapped in that hernia sac to go up into your esophagus. But more importantly, it will also cause your valve to be open longer and more often. So if you have a hernia, especially if it's 3 centimeters or larger, this is kind of the cutoff that we use to see if a hernia should be considered treated and hopefully get fixed. Another cause of GERD is actually obesity. So that obesity can push on your abdomen and squish up that stomach to cause that acid to go up into the esophagus more and cause that sphincter to be open more often and more frequently. In fact, losing weight is one of the more effective natural options to help you lose or get your acid reflux controlled. I had a patient I saw today who's been having long-standing acid reflux. And what he did, he went on what's called the South Beach diet, which I don't care what diet you want to go on, whatever works, works. And then I saw him a couple of months later, and all of a sudden, his reflux went away. He lost 15 pounds. He felt great. He had more energy. But more importantly, his reflux went away when it got to the point where we can actually get him off his acid reflux medication. I was so excited for him because we were able to take away his medication because he lost the weight. But these are the most common causes of why you have GERD. Now, what are symptoms of GERD? We talked about one, actually burning in your chest. That is actually called heartburn, and that is a very common symptom of GERD. Number two is also we can have regurgitation of things coming up. Heartburn and regurgitation are the two classic symptoms of GERD. But there are other symptoms you may not be aware of. So constant throat clearing, it's called globus, just doing that all the time, or feeling the frog in your throat, that is also a symptom of GERD. Trouble swallowing can also be a symptom of GERD. If things get caught up in the esophagus, that can also be a symptom of GERD. Sometimes asthma can also be a symptom of GERD. In fact, when that acid goes up into your esophagus, it can go to your lungs, cause asthma, but also chronic cough is a very common symptom of GERD. I can't tell you the number of patients that have chronic cough, that see a pulmonologist, that see an allergist, do all this testing, and they don't realize that acid reflux or GERD is the reason why they have their chronic cough, and we put them on acid medication, and their chronic cough goes away. And so chronic cough is a very common symptom of that. Sometimes for some individuals, earaches can be due to acid reflux, but also for some individuals as well, having cavities in their mouth can be due to acid erosion, and that can also be due to acid reflux as well. So there are a lot of wide spectrum of symptoms that are related to GERD. The most common ones include something like regurgitation and heartburn. But a serious one is chest pain. So let's talk about chest pain. Chest pain is something that you should never ignore, and you should always make sure that you get your heart evaluated for chest pain, no matter how old you are. But if you've done that and it's not your heart, guess what? The most common reason is actually acid reflux. I had a patient see me last week, young individual, 35 years old. She was having chest pain, crushing chest pain that she could have sworn she was having a heart attack. She went to the ER multiple times for this crushing chest pain. They did everything to rule out her heart. They did EKGs, they did echoes. In fact, she even saw a cardiologist. They said, it's not your heart. So they sent her to me. We did a scope. We saw she had reflux damage. We put her on medications and lifestyle changes. And guess what? Her chest pain went away. So chest pain is one of those symptoms that absolutely can be due to acid reflux, but we always need to make sure that we investigate other sources, especially heart sources, as the cause for acid reflux. What are factors that can aggravate acid reflux? So we know that diet can play a role. So a diet that's high in citrus foods, tomato-based foods, chocolate, red meat, coffee, all the stuff we enjoy in life, I know, can make acid reflux symptoms worse. And let me stress to you, not everyone has to eliminate all these foods. It's very individualized when it comes to acid reflux. So let's talk about me, for example. I have acid reflux. I know for me, my acid reflux is commonly triggered by red meat. So I can have all the coffee in the world. I can have all the pizza, not a big deal. But if I have one small piece of a hamburger, that's going to make my reflux symptoms worse. So try to individualize it to see what works for you. Number two, we also know that carbonated beverages can make acid reflux symptoms worse. So try to minimize that. So if you're having food that cause a lot of bubbling to occur, or if you're having drinks that cause bubbling to occur, eliminate or minimize that so we can hopefully get your symptoms taken care of. Number three, we talked about weight gain. So being obese, especially around the abdomen, absolutely will make your reflux symptoms worse. So try to minimize that so we can get that taken care of for you as well. And certainly stress will make reflux symptoms worse. There is a brain-gut connection. And the more stressed you are about life, about what's going on, the worse it's going to be for your gut. And a lot of times it can manifest in GI issues and heartburn as well. So try to minimize that. All right. How do you know if you have reflux? Number one, we talk to you. So a simple history and exam will allow us to determine if you have acid reflux. So if I have somebody come to see me and I say, hey, I have burning in my chest, I have regurgitation, I can tell you, I think you have acid reflux. Let's maybe start some medications. Another option is we can do what's called an upper endoscopy or an EGD. This is where we use a very small camera. We take a look inside the esophagus to see exactly what's going on. And my goal with that are a couple fold. Number one, I can see, do you have damage from acid reflux? Because long-term acid reflux, unfortunately, can lead to what's called cancer of the esophagus. And a lot of our patients don't realize that. But if you have long-standing acid reflux and you've not had an laparoscope done, you need to get that done so we can see what's going on. I can see if you have damage in there from acid reflux. And I can see if it's leading to long-term complications, and I can make sure we're doing okay for that. Number two, I can also find out why you have acid reflux. Do you have a large hiatal hernia going on? Do you have an infection going on? Do you have low acid? Do you have high acid? Do you have an ulcer? We can see exactly what's going on and find out what it is that's causing the issue. But also number three, I can tell you, are there other options for your acid reflux? Do you need to be on acid therapy? Can we try natural options? Should we consider surgery? That episode can give me a good lay of the land for what is going on. Now, once we've done that, there may be further testing we can do. We can do what's called pH testing, where we physically measure how much acid goes up into the esophagus. So we always have acid going up into the esophagus whenever we open up the sphincter, when we talk, when we swallow, when we eat. What I need to find out though is that sphincter pathologically open all the time to cause too much acid going on? And sometimes a pH test will allow us to see if that's the case, so we can measure that objectively to see what options we can do for you. All right, how do we treat your acid reflux? The meat of the podcast. So lifestyle changes do actually work. So losing weight will help out. Not eating heavy meals before you go to bed will work out. If you don't lie down at least 30 minutes to an hour after you eat, that will help out. Going for a walk after you eat will allow you to digest your food, will help out. Doing what's called diaphragmatic breathing, where you take deep breath in, you actually expand your diaphragm, you close off that sphincter, and that allows you to control your acid reflux. And also minimizing the certain trigger foods for you does help out. These are very common lifestyle changes to get you feeling better. Number two, acid therapy does work. So taking things like Rolaids, antacids, Tums, Nexium, Prilosec, they actually do work. Now they may have their own side effects, so kind of be aware of that and always talk to your doctor about whether you should be on these medications. What I tell my patients is that number one, I want to see if you actually have a reason to be on that medication. I can check that with a scope. Number two, I want you on the lowest dose possible. And number three, if we have the opportunity to add in lifestyle changes, maybe get you off the medication, we can do that as well. So these things do work and they actually are very effective, but you should be aware of some of the side effects of these medications. And number three, consider herbal therapy. There are some individuals in which herbal therapy can help out. So things like licorice has been shown in clinical trials to help out when it comes to acid reflux. Sometimes aloe vera can also be used as well. Chamomile teas has been shown to help out when it comes to acid reflux as well. So try these things in addition to some of the other options. I always stress to my patients, however, if a doctor or a healthcare provider told you to be on an acid medication, don't just stop it willy-nilly. Talk to them, see if there's a true reason for you to be on that medication, and make sure it's not causing a worsening complication. Let me tell you a story of a patient of mine. This story is kind of buried in my brain. I had a patient who was on an acid medication therapy. He had a reason to be on it because he was taking a blood thinner, and I told him, hey, you need to be on this medication. He went off on his own, decided to stop it, try some herbal therapy, and then I got a call in the middle of the night, hey, Dr. Islam, so-and-so is admitted in the ICU because he's vomiting blood and he's pooping blood. I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? So I did an laparoscope for him, and guess what? I saw a rip roaring ulcer that was actively bleeding. Now, luckily we treated it, we got it taken care of, but he had that ulcer because he stopped taking his acid medication and he was on a blood thinner. And I was like, bro, what are you doing? I told you not to do this. And he was like, I know, I just saw on the internet these side effects, and I wanted to stop it, and the side effect of those medications was far smaller than the issue that occurred with him developing a bleeding ulcer. So if you're on these medications, I stress to you, please, please, please don't stop them unless you speak to your healthcare provider about what's going on. All right. Lastly, let's talk about when to worry. So there are a couple of warning signs that we look for in the GI tract that tell me that something bad is going on. So number one, if you're vomiting blood. So if you're vomiting blood, you're pooping blood, you have black stools, guess what? That's worrisome. Come see us. Number two, if you're having trouble swallowing. Trouble swallowing is not normal. I am so shocked by how many people come to see me who assume that things getting stuck in their esophagus is a normal finding. No, it's not. And so make sure if you have trouble swallowing, we can see exactly what's going on and get that taken care of you. Number three, you get full easy. If you have that, that's not normal. That means something bad is going on. Something's growing inside your stomach. We need to investigate what is going on. If you have weight loss, especially weight loss that's not intentional, and you have a poor appetite on top of that, that is warning for me that something bad is going on. We need to do further investigation to get the taken care of for you as well. So these are some of the simple warning signs that I look for when I speak to my patients to see, is there something bad going on, and do we need to do further testing on that? So let me know what you guys think. Like, share, and subscribe. Let me know in the comments, and let me know if you have any other questions about heartburn and acid reflux as well. All right. Question number one, I take Ozempic, and I'm having some gut effects. What are the more common side effects from taking Ozempic? All right, great question. Let me know in the comments down below. Are you one of the millions of people out there taking Ozempic for weight loss? I know you are. I know it. I see this. So there are a couple of side effects you should be aware of. Number one, you can have serious or, you know, maybe not so serious constipation. Ozempic stops you from going. It stops the flow of everything. So a very common side effect is constipation. So sometimes adding some Miralax, adding some magnesium, discontinuing fiber can help out with constipation. Second common side effect is actually acid reflux. So because we're slowing down the gut, things stay in your stomach longer more often and causes acid reflux symptoms to occur. So that can be a very common reason for that. Then number three, having some bloating and some gas. It's a very common side effect. Things that we can do, chamomile tea, peppermint tea. This will help out with these issues to minimize some of these symptoms that can occur from the side effects from Ozempic. Oh, this is a great one from Paul. Hey, Dr. Islam, I want to know, what are the best things that I can do to improve my gut health today? All right, I want to give you three tips that I recommend when it comes to improving your gut health. This is universal. Anyone can do this, and it should hopefully get you feeling better. Number one, incorporate more plants and vegetables in your diet. The best predictor for the best microbiome ever is based on the diversity of plants and vegetables in your diet. This is by far the most effective thing you can do to improve your diet. So whatever your diet is, add in more vegetables. In fact, this should be the biggest part of your plate. This will help out. Number two, I typically recommend to try to avoid greasy foods, processed foods, fast food. Don't go outside to eat on a consistent basis. This is terrible for your gut. It's terrible for your hormones. It's terrible for how you feel. This is not gonna be good for you. And number three, exercise in any way that you can. There are so many benefits with exercise. It can help you lose weight, it can help out with your gut microbiome. And guess what? It is completely free. Do this. If you do these three things, you'll be way ahead of the game for most of the people that are out there when it comes to your gut health and your gut microbiome as well. Last question here. Hey, Dr. Islam, I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. Is this curable? All right, this is a great question. So in the past, hepatitis C was the number one cause of liver failure in our patients. And in the past, the treatments were terrible. We gave you medications and shots for months on end. We had about a 70% effective rate, maybe 60%. It didn't work sometimes. People were frustrated. It did not work. Well, guess what? There's been a revolution of hepatitis C. In fact, we can give you pills now that you take for a couple of months, and we have about a 95% cure rate. That is crazy with very minimal side effects. So yes, hepatitis C is curable, treatable, and we can fix you up. Now, everyone should be screened for hepatitis C. This is the most current guideline. So it's a simple blood test. Talk to your doctor and see if you have hepatitis C. If you do, come see us where we can cure your liver and get you taken care of. So yes, it's curable. It's typically easy, takes a few months, and you are good to go. I want to thank you guys for watching. If you haven't already, don't forget to smash that like button, like, share, and subscribe. If you want to connect to us, subscribe to our video, follow the podcast, tune in or live on my live stream every single week. We may change the time next week depending on the stats, what you guys want. But I hope you guys have a great day and look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thanks and take care. Have a great day.